finds it. When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. When he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Will you please pray with me? Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Once when I was supply preaching, as I am this morning, unknowingly I left a favorite black sweater at the church. The weather warmed, and it wasn't until several weeks later that I realized I didn't have my sweater. I didn't know where it was, I just knew it wasn't in my closet. It was sort of expensive when I bought it 10 to 12 years ago, but it has withstood the test of time and was worth the money. Needless to say, I was disappointed that I had apparently lost it. I called a friend or two whom I'd been with and tried to retrace my steps a little bit, and no luck. Finally, I vaguely remembered where I had filled in, called a friend at that church who I served on a presbytery committee with, and she found it. And I was so lucky to have my old faithful back. Not all that long ago, someone left the door open at my house. My beagle-ish dog, with the mischievous nose and little ability to hear, got out and was gone apparently for quite some time before I knew it. I looked at all the usual places where he has lost himself before. No luck. I was so distraught. Friends dropping something off in the midst of my stakeout left quickly, and after rounding the corner, they came back with Benny the Beagle in tow. He was lost, but had been found, and I was so glad. Perhaps you, too, have lost something. Most of us have. And perhaps you have been as lucky as I was to get it or them back, to find your lost items. Perhaps then we, too, can relate to the woman who found the lost coin, and to the shepherd of today who found his errant sheep. Our parables today, though, challenge us to think of what it would be like to lose those things most precious to us. For those were precious items in the characters, to the characters in our passage. A sweater, although well liked, is really not all that precious. Now, my 16-year-old dog, that's another story. Perhaps some of you dog people can relate, and can relate to the joy of finding something so precious that you thought you had lost. It is possible that some here even know the joy of being the thing that was found. There are stories of people who literally were lost in the wild, in a cave, in the cold, in a forest at night. Their joy at being found such situations is greater than being the one who finds. Perhaps you even know of such a time of being found yourself. Or perhaps we even know a time of lostness that's more metaphoric, more a time when we've been wandering aimlessly through life, maybe somewhat hopeless, searching for something. Sometimes we don't even know for what. An answer, relief, an end to pain. And then suddenly, mysteriously, something happens, or someone comes into our lives, and our time of lostness is over, and And we know, thank God, that we're alive again. And thankfully, we too have been found. Our passages of today from Luke, they're about such matters. This passage that is found in one of the best chapters in Luke, smack dab in the middle of it. A chapter that consists of three parables in a row. We read two of them, the parable of the lost sheep and the parable of the lost coin. Parables that speak of lost things, lost people. And God, through a variety of images, searches for them, high and low, until he finds them. The third parable that we didn't read and not going to preach about today, because you could spend several weeks on it alone, is the parable of the prodigal son, who was lost as well. It's lectionary reading, not for today, but is often chosen for Lent because of its strong message of repentance. Some have called that parable the parable of the loving father, because God seeks us out. But perhaps in the context of today, we could call it the parable of the two lost sons to go along with our lost sheep and our lost coin. For again, this chapter is all about lostness, the lost nature of so many of us humans, and God's unrelenting search for that which is lost. The two parables of today are almost identical in their format. One images God as a shepherd who leaves all the other sheep to come and find the one who's lost. And the other pictures God, interestingly, as a woman who will give the entire house a serious, almost obsessive sweeping to find what she has lost, a coin. Maybe some of you could think of some other images for such a God who seeks us out. We read a few of those in the story of the runaway bunny. But I thought of another one, like God could be like a lighthouse, even scouring the horizon for those who might be lost in the sea of life. Maybe you can think of some others. But God is relentless in his seeking of those who are lost, those lost souls that might just include each of us. And today, as we hear these scriptures, some of us may be thinking, things are really pretty good in my life right now. I don't feel all that lost. I am doing just fine, thank you very much. Sometimes, though, it takes admitting the places in our lives where we are a little lost, where we don't know what to do about something, when we might just need a little direction in order that we might be open to being found, in order that we might, as Psalm 18 tells us, be scooped up by God's almighty and powerful hand and taken out of the muck we find ourselves in. I want to read a little bit of that psalm because it's just so beautiful in how God is so passionate about us. This is one of my favorite psalms, and so I share it with you. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God, my rock, in whom I take refuge. My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, so I shall be saved. The cords of death encompassed me. The torrents of perdition assailed me. The cords of Sheol entangled me. The snares of death confronted me. And in my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God, I cried for help. And from his temple, he heard my voice and my cry, and it reached his ears. Then the earth reeled and rocked, the foundations also of the mountains trembled and quaked because God was angry. Smoke went up from his nostrils and devouring fire from his mouth, glowing coals flamed forth from him. He bowed the heavens and he came down. Thick darkness was under his feet. He rode a cherub and flew. He came swiftly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his covering around him, his canopy, thick clouds, dark with water. Out of the brightness before him, there broke forth lightning and routed them. Then the channels of the sea were seen, and the foundation of the world were laid bare at your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of your nostrils. And God reached down from on high. He took me and drew me out of mighty waters. He delivered me from strong enemies and from those who hated me, for they were too mighty for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a broad place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. I just think that's powerful imagery of how God is so passionate and cares so much for each of us, that he will come and save us and scoop us out by his almighty hand and take us out of whatever muck we find ourselves in and set us onto a broad place, a place where we know we're no longer lost, but we're safe. Psalm 139 reminds us that there's nowhere we can flee from God's presence, for God searches us and knows us probably better than we know ourselves. Now, some of us might even be thinking at this point, well, you know, I'm doing pretty good. I'm a pretty good Christian. I know an awful lot about Christ and his church. I'm doing an awful lot for Christ and his church. But I need to remind us all, myself included, of where this chapter begins. For this whole chapter about lost things in Luke is Jesus' answer to those religious types who are judging Jesus for hanging out and eating with the lost souls of that era, some of whom we might consider really lost. Barbara Brown Taylor gives us a more contemporary image of this scene. It's like a picture of a motley crew who have gathered, say, at the local huddle house. An abortion doctor, a child molester, an arms dealer, a garbage collector, a young man with AIDS, a Laotian chicken plucker, a teenage crack addict, and an unmarried woman on welfare with five children from three different fathers. And guess what? Where's Jesus sitting? Right there in the middle with them. In the middle of the scene, while they wait for their pancakes, the local ministerial association walks in and sits down nearby, all, as she says, with good teeth, no dirt under their fingernails. When their food comes, they hold hands to pray. They are all perfectly nice people, but they can hardly eat their hamburger steaks for staring at the strange crowd in the far booth. It is the Pharisees and the scribes in our passage of today to whom Jesus speaks. It's the Pharisees that think they're above reproach, who judge Jesus for associating with the motley crew of his own, while they can't see their own need, their own sin, perhaps their own lostness. At the end of today's passage, Jesus speaks of the joy in heaven over those who were lost and are now found, over one repentant sinner that comes home. But the interesting thing in these parables that I read today is that there really is no repentance. The coin doesn't repent. In fact, the coin does nothing to be found. And I doubt the sheep really does either. I was told that a sheep, when lost and out on its own in the wild, out of fear of being devoured by a predator, might just hunker down and keep as quiet as it can, not at all aiding the one searching for it. What all this does is to tell us a little something about God. Sometimes when we think of being a disciple of Jesus, we often think there are things we must do or ways we must be in order to gain the gift, the real gift of salvation. But here, today, we're told something a little different. We're told that we don't have to do a thing, and that if we're lost, God is always searching and seeking us out because of his we're told that our shepherd God cares so much for us in our lostness, he'll leave everyone else to come and find us. That, my friends, is grace. Amazing grace. A grace that saves lost souls like me and you. I had a professor once who said that if you're giving grace away down at Ruck Arena, the only thing we have to do is get up and go down and get it. We do have to receive the gift of grace. And you know, believe it or not, that's hard for some of us some days, whether it's the gift of grace from God or from those around us. But none of us have it so much together that we don't need a little grace. And really, that's what today's scriptures are about. God's grace that is free for all of us. The story of the runaway bunny is a profound message, really. It's much greater than a children's story and a wonderful image of how much God loves us and how God will shape change to come and meet us and to try to get our attention. All we have to do is open up and look. There's so much in our world that can take us away from that God, that can help us, that make us lose direction, that can make us run away from God like the bunny who so wanted to know just how loved he was. We run trying to find an answer, trying to find peace, hope, life. There are many paths to take, and we know that many are dead ends. But what we hear today, that in the midst of losing our direction, or when our concern may be about someone we love who goes away that we know will get them lost, we're told a wonderful piece of good news, that there's a God, bigger still, who's seeking always and who can find. Perhaps there's one thing we can do to help this relentless seeker. I believe that when we can admit our own little bit of lostness, become vulnerable, and say we don't know the way, that we don't have all the answers, that we, like the motley crew at the Huddle House, are sinners too, it might just make it easier for God to find us, for us to receive the gift of God's searching grace. The end of our story today is all about joy. And thus, these parables of grace are also parables of joy. Joy at a sinner come home, that what was lost is now found. We are invited to open up and participate in this joy. Particularly, we who are Presbyterians, I'm one too, so I can say this. You know that many call us the frozen chosen. We might heed this call that Jesus gives to the Pharisees. And as Scott Vader Sayer says, better learn to rejoice. And to rejoice with those we typically would not include in our party or in our rejoicing. When we drop those walls and let someone like that in, it's amazing what God can do with us as well as with those we begin to include. John Newton wrote Amazing Grace, and he knew of this kind of joy. The captain of a slave ship, some of you probably know, immersed in the sin of capturing, mistreating, and selling other human beings for profit. He was found by God in the midst of the ocean one day in 1748 when he was caught in a storm and had a spiritual awakening. He was later ordained as a pastor in the Church of England, despite his lack of formal education. Newton wrote his own epitaph on his tombstone, which read, John Newton, clerk, once an infidel and libertine, a servant of slaves in Africa, was by the rich mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ preserved, restored, pardoned, appointed to preach the faith he had long labored to destroy. As we sing that great ourselves up to God just a little bit more today. The God who is searching for us in whatever way we may be a little distant from Him, perhaps even lost. And may we, ever so slightly, turn towards home, rejoicing along the way. Amen.